you, Jesus. Praise God. We truly would be helpless without him, but thank God that he is here, and he is with us even this day. Praise God. Hallelujah. I do just want to mention before we get started, we were expecting to have a baptism today, but it's going to have to be rescheduled. The online listener who wanted to be baptized couldn't make it, so we'll get that rescheduled, and hopefully he can get here soon. I do know that he would very much like to be baptized, and we greatly look forward to doing so. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Bibles this morning, and we are going to continue the series we started. This will be part four. The series is called The Source of Life. And, you know, sometimes when I'm preparing for a message, the Lord will take me in places that I wasn't quite expecting. And that was truly the case with the message I'm going to bring forth today with the Lord's help. Hopefully he'll enable me to do this. I know he will. He always does. But this message did not turn out the way that I thought it would when I first began preparing for it. Now, we've been talking about Jesus Christ as the source of our spiritual life. And we've talked about the basic necessities, essential things that we absolutely must have to be alive in this life. We know that we need air, we need oxygen, and we know that God is the one who put in man the breath of life. We know that we need water, and we know that it is essential. You can only go a few days without it. We know that Jesus is the living water to make us spiritually alive. We know that we need food. Without food, we would die in a matter of weeks to months. It is absolutely essential, and we know that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We know that we need shelter, protection from the elements, protection from heat, cold weather, and environmental hazards, all of these things that can be dangerous. We know that we need shelter, we need sleep, we need clothing, we need medical care. And yes, we can get all of these things, both physically and spiritually, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to talk about shelter. For he is our shelter, and there's a lot more to this than I initially expected. We're going to be opening to Joshua chapter 20 to begin with, and before we begin, we do need to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast shown us in scripture already, and we pray that thou continue to show us new and marvelous things from thy book. We pray that thou would lead us here today by thy Spirit, and we pray that thou would open our understanding to perceive and understand thy word. For without thee we truly can do nothing. Without thee we truly are helpless. But we pray, Lord, that thou give us the spirit of understanding. And we pray, O God, that thou give us the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray that thou move upon us right now. We pray that there be no hindrances whatsoever here in this place. But we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign. Thou art God Almighty. There is none like thee, and there is none beside thee. We pray that thy Spirit would lead us here today. Let thy Spirit have free course as we open thy book, and inspire us, O God, to follow thee more closely. We pray that we would leave this place stronger than when we came in, and we ask, Lord, that thou move upon us right now. We pray that thou give us ear to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Before Moses left this earth, he left instructions for something that the Israelites would need to do when they got to the promised land. There was instructions to set up six cities of refuge in Israel, and these cities of refuge would be a place where you could go if you had accidentally hurt or killed someone, if you were guilty of manslaughter, if you had no intention to harm someone and accidentally did something that caused their demise, you had the option to run to a city of refuge. And This was necessary because, according to Old Covenant law, if you killed someone, even accidentally, they would appoint someone related to that person who would be the avenger of blood, who would legally be able to go and slay you for having slain that person's family member. But if you went to the city of refuge, then the avenger of blood could not come nigh you and could not hurt you. So this was a system of protection that God ordained in Old Covenant times. Let's look at it here in Joshua chapter 20. In Joshua chapter 20, verse 1, it tells us, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." So this is specifically talking about people who did not intend to harm or kill. It was an accident, and it happened unawares and unwittingly. These people were allowed to flee to the city of refuge. And that word refuge, if you ever look it up in a dictionary, you'll find that it means shelter or protection from danger or trouble. A place of shelter, protection, or safety. Refuge. So they would have this place of refuge where they could go to be delivered from the avenger of blood. Verse 4, "And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them." Now, they didn't take just anyone. If you were guilty of homicide, you could not flee to the city of refuge. If it was something that was accidental, something you did not intend, you would be allowed entry. And of course, they would be examined and questioned before they would enter into the city of refuge. So they would speak in the ears of the elders, and they would hear the case, and if they were satisfied, they would allow this person to come in. Verse 5, "And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time." In other words, it was not premeditated. It's not something he had planned or even intended to do. "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, and the city from whence he fled." So we see here that someone who committed manslaughter and accidentally killed someone, they would not have the freedom to go anywhere else. They had to stay in that city of refuge. And as long as they stayed in that city of refuge, they would be safe from harm. And they had to stay there until such a time as the high priest would die, and then they would have a new high priest, and then at that point, the person who had committed this accidental death could leave. Verse 7, "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now I'm going to tell you this morning that these cities of refuge pointed forward to Jesus Christ, who is our refuge in the new covenant. I want to show you something in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's turn there right now. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and going down to verse 13. Verse 13 tells us, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." There is no one greater than God. And sometimes people will even say, "Oh, I swear to God." Or they'll make an oath in the name of God. And actually, as Christians, you don't have to do that, because you can let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. We're expected to tell the truth, so you shouldn't have to swear it. But it tells us that there was none greater than God. We know that to be true. So when he made this promise to Abraham, he swore by himself. Verse 14 tells us, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And yes, we know that that was the promise that God made to Abraham, that he would be multiplied, that great seed would come forth from him, and by him every nation on earth would be blessed. Now, how did that happen? Was it just because the Jews are really awesome people? No, it's because Jesus Christ, the Savior, would come forth from those people. That is how every nation in this world was blessed. That's how all people were blessed, because Jesus Christ came forth as our Savior to give us an opportunity to be saved from our sins. Verse 15, "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Immutability. What does that word mean? That's an unusual word. It means unchanging. Unchangeable. Changeless. Immutable. Verse 18, "that by two immutable things," in other words, two things that cannot be changed, "in which it was impossible for God to lie." It is not even a possibility that God to lie, for God to lie. When he speaks, the creation obeys, because he is the creator. "We might have a strong consolation." Consolation. That means comfort or solace. When you're consoled, "we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Look at this. We, as heirs of the promise, flee for refuge. Who do we flee to? Well, it's going to tell us. Verse 19, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forerunner, it means one who comes in advance to a place where the rest are to follow. And yes, we follow Jesus to that refuge. He leads us to that refuge, and we find that refuge only in him, for he is the very anchor of our souls. In him we are sure and steadfast. Now, I want to show you something that's quite remarkable. We just looked at Joshua chapter 20. And you might recall that there were six cities of refuge. Those cities were Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And there was, on the other side by Jericho, and on the other side, Jordan by Jericho, eastward they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Now let's look at what the names of all these cities mean. Kadesh. Kadesh means holy place, sanctuary, or set apart. And Jesus Christ is holy, and not only that, but he is our holy place. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 20 tell us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He gives us access to the most holy place, the holiest place of all, the very presence of God, access to the throne of grace. That's what Jesus Christ came to do as the mediator between God and man. And that is why that veil in the temple was ripped in twain from top to bottom. Amen. Because that separation was gone. We now have access. You know, in the old covenant, when they had the tabernacle and later the temple, they had that inner room, the holiest of holies, the most holy place. And no one could go in there except for the chief priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. No one else could go in, and before the priest could even go into that room, he had to be sanctified and consecrated. You couldn't just walk in. If you walked in there unclean, they would be pulling you out. And you wouldn't be alive anymore. Yes, Jesus Christ gave us access to the most holy place. And that holiest of all, that place, that inner room in the temple, represented the throne in heaven. And what were the other cities? Shechem. What does Shechem mean? It means shoulder. The name Shechem, the town of Shechem, the word literally means shoulder. What does Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 tell us? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It tells us that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Shechem means shoulder. And you might recall in Luke chapter 15, the story, the parable that Jesus told. In verses 3 through 7 in Luke chapter 15, it tells us, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And I want to clarify here, the only reason a person would need no repentance is because they already repented. We need to understand that. But it tells us that Jesus is, as the good shepherd, goes out searching for the lost sheep. And he finds us. He carries us on his shoulders. And indeed, when Jesus was on the cross, he was bearing the weight of all our sins on his shoulders. Amen. What about Hebron? The name Hebron, when translated, it means alliance, association, or friendship. And what do the scriptures tell us? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 tells us, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and it is Jesus Christ. For John 15, verses 13 through 15 tell us, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Yes, he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the best friend we could ever have, for he laid down his life for us. He freely gave it so that we may live. Bezer. What does the name Bezer mean? It means fortress or stronghold. What does Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 tell us? "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." And we know that our God, we know that the Lord Jesus, he is our fortress and he is our stronghold. And as we grow in him, we grow stronger and stronger in the faith. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus is what makes us strong. We find strength in his grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 tell us, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Yes, he is our fortress, he is our stronghold, and we are strengthened by his very Spirit that he puts within us. Ramoth. What does Ramoth mean? It means high places. And we know that our God dwells in the highest places, the highest place of all. He dwells in heaven. We know that he is called in Scripture time and time again, the Most High God. We know that Jesus came to earth And we know that he had his ministry. We know that he died on the cross for our sins. We know that he was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights in victory. We know that he was alive on earth in his resurrected state for 40 days. And we know that after that he ascended into heaven, where he now reigns from on high, from the high place. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 tell us, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Oh yes, Jesus Christ won the victory for us, and now he dwells on high on the throne in heaven. And he has promised to give his people the Spirit. Where does the Spirit of God come from? It comes from that high place. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 tells us, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 tell us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So yes, our God dwells in the high place. And that's where our hearts are right now. We're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. For that is our true home. That is our final destination, to be with him for all eternity. Golan, what does Golan mean? It means circle or enclosure or something surrounded. You know what it tells us in Psalm 125 verse 2? As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. He encircles us. He's enclosed around us as our hedge of protection. And we know that Jesus promised to always be with us, to never leave us. For he said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that hedge of protection does not leave us. And we know that he promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You look at what these cities mean, these cities of refuge, and you see that all of them apply to Jesus Christ. For yes, he is our sanctuary. He is our holy place. We know that he is the one who put us on our shoulders and carried us to deliverance. We know that he is our friend, the best friend we could ever have. We know that he is our fortress and our stronghold. We know that he dwells in the high places, and we can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we know that he encircles us with his hedge of protection round about us. So yes, all of those cities of refuge pointed forward to Jesus Christ, who is our city of refuge. And for those who would go to escape the Avenger, as long as they stayed within that city of refuge, they would be safe. As long as we stay firmly in Jesus Christ, we are safe. For he is our shelter from wrath, from judgment, and ultimately from sin, from death, and from hell. Let's turn now to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and we're going to start with verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh yes, our God is our refuge. He is our secret place. He is our shelter from the storm. He is that place where we can go to be protected from the dangers of this world. We can abide under his shadow. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What does fowler mean? Well, it literally means a hunter of birds. But it also refers to someone who lays traps and snares, a bait layer. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Noisome, that means offensive or disgusting, harmful or injurious to health, noxious. And of course, pestilence refers to a deadly or virulent epidemic disease or a plague or something that is considered harmful, destructive, or evil. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, there are so many things in this world that could get you. So many dangers around us all the time. You ever stop and think about what a miracle it is that you've lasted this long? That we all have? There's dangers around us all the time that we don't even know about. The fact that we were able to wake up this morning and get out of bed is a miracle. The Lord gave us another day, and that is truly a blessing. And so often, he protects us from dangers that we do not even know are there. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation or dwelling place. We dwell with him. We dwell with him as our city of refuge, as our shelter from danger. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yes, he is with us. And he gives us angels to watch over us. You know, sometimes we do pretty stupid things. And sometimes you wonder if some people maybe have to assign a few extra angels. But we know that his angels do watch over us. And God's presence goes with us to protect us when we are in danger. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Dragon here refers to actually a large serpent, a frightening serpent. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Notice it doesn't say there won't be any trouble. We know that there will always be trouble in this world, for this world is filled with trouble. But when that trouble comes, when the storms of life come, you can be founded on the rock. You can be built on the rock, Christ Jesus. And when you are built on the rock, Christ Jesus, and those storms come, you will not fall. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that is the most important thing of all, that he shows us salvation, which comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. That name Jesus means salvation. Our salvation comes from him. Let's look at Psalm 61. This is a psalm of David, and David was a man who was well acquainted with trouble. He's a man who knew what it was like to have to flee for his life. He was a man who knew what it was like to need to rely on refuge from God, protection and shelter from the Lord. For he was faced with many threats, and really for all of his life. Verse 1 in Psalm 61 tells us, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. I'm sure we've all had our moments when we feel overwhelmed by what is happening in our lives. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by sorrow, overwhelmed by grief, especially when we're facing loss. Perhaps we lost a loved one, and that overwhelms us with sorrow and with grief, but we can turn to the Lord for comfort. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by all of the responsibilities we face in this world, and we worry over the future and what might happen and what we're going to do in the days ahead, but you can turn all of your worry over to the Lord. When you are overwhelmed, you can cry unto him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Yes, he is our shelter. Jesus Christ is our shelter. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Tabernacle means dwelling place. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Covert means covered or sheltered. So we are covered or sheltered by his wings. And that word Selah means, say it again. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. What is it that really preserves God's people? Mercy and truth. We find the truth only in Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And without his mercy, we would all be lost. It is because of his mercy that he goes looking for the lost sheep in the first place and puts us upon his shoulders and carries us. Verse 8, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Notice here, these scriptures, they keep talking about being protected under his wings. What did Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. We have that invitation from the Lord Jesus. He'll be our refuge. He'll be our shelter. He'll protect us from the elements of this world, from the sin and the destruction, and from the wrath of God. He'll protect us under his wings, under his refuge from the storm. Isaiah 25, verse 4 tells us, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And yes, he is with us, even in the storms of this life. And he is our refuge from the storm. He is the rock, our firm foundation. So yes, we run to Jesus. Without him, we truly would be lost. Without him, we would have no hope. Praise the Lord. You know, throughout the Psalms, the Lord is our refuge is a recurring theme. You see it time and time again. Let's look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, starting with verse 1, it tells us, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. Our refuge, a house of defense, our protection, our shelter. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Oh yes, he is able to save you from danger, to find you when you're lost, to pull you out of the traps of the enemy, out of the traps of the one who seeks to slay you, the one who seeks to destroy you, is able to pull you out of the net of the hand of the devil, who seeks you as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour to destroy you. The Lord is able to save you, pull you out of that net, pull you out of that trap, and he is our refuge. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. You know what the good thing about being in a large room is? You can move about freely. And he puts us in his shelter. A large room, a large place. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. We know that David saw a lot of trouble in his life, but he also knew where to turn for refuge. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Oh, yes, there's a lot of slander against David. He had to flee from his enemies at times. He had to run away. He faced a lot of false accusations and a lot of trouble. And there were moments when he felt so broken that he felt like he was just a broken vessel, like a dead man. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. He knows our end from the beginning. He knows every day that we will live from start to finish. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now watch this. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. A shelter, a pavilion, a shelter of protection. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city, a city of refuge. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. In other words, those that are proud will be judged for it. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Yes, he is able to take us and hide us in that pavilion, that secret place, so that we can be safe from every danger we face in this world. And yes, Jesus Christ is our refuge. So we run to him. And as long as you stay in Jesus Christ, you will be safe from the one that seeks to destroy you. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, that in thee we find refuge. We find refuge from the enemy, from the accuser, from him that would seek to destroy us. We find refuge from the storm. We find salvation and deliverance from every wicked and evil thing. In thee we find refuge from sin, from death, from hell. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast called us and saved us, that thou hast sought us out, that thou hast carried us on thy shoulders when we were too weak to walk on our own. And we pray, Lord, that thou continually abide with thy people, strengthen us more and more every day, help us to walk with thee, to not forget thee, but to continuously follow thee, and to walk by faith and not by sight. We pray, Lord, that thou bless thy people who are here in this building, bless thy people who are listening on line, and bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus in closing. Number 55 in the chorus book, Safe Am I, 55.
Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered o'er, with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me.
You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.